And remember that 21 means 21. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Powered by Ford Trucks. Built Ford Tough. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now live.
That stayed up late and either watched it or listened to it. Who among us did that? And the coach is raising his hand, too.
It was a good night. I was really proud of our team. You know, it was obviously a long road trip, but I love the focus. I love the focus when we got to Hawaii. And then to come out and start the game like we did and, you know, really play pretty well for four quarters. I was proud of the guys, and it was a good victory for the Rams, and it was a great road victory.
Yeah, and it was great to see the way you started out the game. You win the coin toss, you defer the second half, and your defense comes out, gets a three and out, and I thought that kind of set the tone for the certainly the first quarter, but the game in general.
I thought it was huge. You know, we talk about what we're going to do every week, and Hawaii was, I think they were leading the conference in total offense going into this game and really moved the ball on everybody that they had played. But I wanted to set the tempo for our defense and let them know we had confidence that we're going to kick it off. And, you know, to get to three and out and give our offense great field position, they did it right out of the bat. We went down and scored offensively, converted a third down, third and 10 to Dietrich. But then the defense did it two more occasions,
right.
You know, three straight three and outs. Set the offense up with great field position the whole first quarter. There were really two issues there where BC had a little issue with the ball security. But other than that, it was probably the best quarter we played since I've been here.
See, it's funny. The radio announcer just forgets about those mistakes, but I knew the head coach wouldn't.
Yeah, we've been talking. And then it's going to be important this week, and we'll get into Utah State in a minute. But, you know, the fastest way to lose any game is turn the ball over, and especially on the road. You know, you want to protect that ball. And, you know, fortunately, we got back on the ball and we didn't give them a short field. We were able to take advantage of the short field. And defense did their job. They set up the offense. Offense did their job by when they got set up, they put points on the board and got touchdowns instead of field goals, converted third downs. Defense did great, you know, shut them out on third down in the first quarter. Just an excellent first quarter. By the offense and defensive units.
Yep, and Colorado State would go on to win the football game again, 51-21. The Rams go to 1-0 now in Mountain West Conference play, and then a big road date coming up on Saturday against Utah State. All right, we'll talk more about this Hawaii game moving forward, get into Utah State as well. Great to have everybody aboard here tonight. We'll take a timeout live at CBN Potts here this evening on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield.
Turn backyard beers into 50-yard line cheers. Get the Coors Light XP app to start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and rewards, like exclusive access to your favorite sporting events and Coors Light gear. Coors Light XP. Download it from the App Store today. No purchase necessary in select states. Rewards subject to availability while supplies last. 50 US/DC, 21 plus only. See terms and app and at coorslight.com/XP. Great beer, great responsibility. 2017, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, welcome back here to the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show live at CBM Potts here on a Wednesday night. The Rams 3-2 in the season. They're 1-0 in the Mountain West Conference, coming off a big 51-21 win over Hawaii. Last game in review presented by Bank of Colorado, where CSU is more than just a school. Rams are more than just our team. Colorado is more than just our state. It's our state of mind. Bank of Colorado, there is only one. Well, Mark Driscoll was talking about it on the broadcast, and of course, he's an ex-quarterback and a football coach, and you obviously are too.
And an ex,
yeah.
That's right. Most of you are experts.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I would classify Mark more as an expert than me, Mike, but you guys knew that Hawaii was going to throw a lot of stuff at you defensively, and you kind of countered that a little bit by going to a lot of 22 personnel, which means two running backs and two tight ends.
Good job. You're doing good.
I know what I'm sounding like.
Yes.
Yeah. 12 personnel would be one back and two tight ends, right.
Yep.
And,
good job.
And zero personnel would, I guess, be empty set, five wides.
Yep.
So why did you do that, and what was the strategy?
It limits what they can do defensively. You're trying to get them in – a certain front and a certain coverage and limit their package a little bit. When you play 11 personnel or 10 personnel and a little bit more spread, people can be a little bit more multiple. And even in the 21 personnel, which is the traditional pro-I stuff, they were multiple. But when you got in 22, it limits your package a little bit because you've got a lot of gaps to fit in the run game. And you don't need a lot of coverages because usually it's one or two receivers out. So it limits what they do. So we could focus, our run plan on what they could do, and we thought we could execute against their looks. Now, if you started doing a bunch of stuff, they became multiple. And we're just trying to limit our guys from making mistakes, giving them the advantage where they can execute. So that's the main reason we went 22 personnel in this game.
Well, I think that's one of the things as we watched your offense here at Colorado State over the last 2+ years. You guys really can go so many different formations. You're not just a spread team. You're not right. just an up-tempo team. I mean, you guys, if you need to, can go big and try to go power on people.
Yeah, and I believe we're going to have to do that to win this league. We're going to have to get into some two-back sets and with tight ends and be able to run the ball. And that's what I was telling our team leading up to the last week's game and during the game. I said, if we're going to win this league, we're going to have to play with a tight end attached. We're going to have to run some power-type runs, and y'all are going to have to block. And it was good for those young tight ends. Cameron Butler and even Dalton Jung at playing. He hadn't played a lot in their attached tight end, playing that position. It was good for us to get that experience. We're going to have to do some of that the rest of this conference season. And then it allows another thing that a defense has on tape of us doing. Last year we did it. Last year we haven't really done it this year that much except for short yardage. But at times last year we'd be in 22 personnel one series and empty the next. So you want to keep defenses guessing and honest, but at the end of the day, you've got to do something where you can be successful and be balanced, and I like where we are right now.
Hey, you mentioned the tight ends. Cameron Butler, the true freshman, had 3 catches, 41 yards, and Dalton Fackrell, I think it was the 3rd drive of the game. You guys had, I think, a 3rd and 8. You got it to him in the flat. I mean, he was stopped 5 yards short of the first down, slipped a tackle, got the first down, kept the drive alive, and then got rewarded with a touchdown.
Yeah, it was a huge play by him. And I always tell the quarterbacks, there's nothing wrong with throwing the ball in the flat sometimes. Let your guys, give them opportunity to make plays. Sometimes we try to see too much and hold the ball too long and throw the ball downfield, and it's about completing balls. And, he thought the corner dropped. He gave it to Dalton in a hurry in the flat. Dalton got his shoulder, had enough time to get his pads down, made the corner miss the tackle, got the first down, and then we were in the red zone, actually basically in the goal line situation, and they played a certain defensive front and coverage that it was actually Joe Cox's play. We called it Cox Pass after Joe Cox.
Right.
It was something that his high school coach ran when they got this front and this coverage all the time. We called it Cox Pass. They were in the front and coverage. It was an easy touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, Roll just – went right into the end zone. They
were in a what you call a switch technique where they took the safety and played him press man on Dalton on the line of scrimmage and then played a defensive end in a wide technique. So Dalton set like he was going to pass, and Trey Moxley went and blocked the guy that had him man-to-man.
Gotcha.
And then he slipped under Trey. So it was actually a pick play at the line of scrimmage.
At the line of scrimmage, yes. Which, of course, is completely legal. It was beautifully executed. Colorado State with that pass to Fackrell goes up 21-0 in that game. To go back to how many different formations you can run and the fact that you guys really are multiple, how important is it to have a guy at center like Jake Bennett and a guy at quarterback like Nick Stevens, both seniors?
Yeah, it's huge. It's how much your players can handle. There's a ton of different schemes, a ton of different ways to formation people and set up, run the power, run the zone, run the counters, passing concepts. But you got to be able to function in your offense, and your guys have got to be able to function, and your quarterback and your center have to understand what you're trying to do. We're able to do more because of a veteran quarterback and a veteran offensive lineman. Where we are right now compared to our first year here, is light years from the center and the quarterback perspective, because we understand. And in-game adjustments is totally different now compared to when we started. We're able to handle what we're doing and changing on a really a quick quick adjustments within a game because of those two guys. We can say something and they can get it done. Where we don't, I don't have to guess right as a play caller all the time. They're smart enough to get us in the right play.
Right. We talked about this last year. A lot of folks here may remember about, you know, Nick looking to the sidelines, check with me, where they're looking at the sideline for you based on what you're seeing. Are the check with me's being limited now this year to where Nick can call plays?
Most of them are with our quarterback because, you know, defensive coaches have gotten a lot smarter. When you look to the sideline, they check when the coach checks on the sideline, so they'll change their call. So a lot of times we leave it up to Nick to get us in the right protection and the right run game. And then if the defensive coach is not checking the checker, then I will do some of that from the sidelines, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. If he'll allow us to change the plays and he doesn't change what he does defensively, then you'll see Nick look over to the sideline. And a lot of times it's a thumbs up, hey, we're running the play, which we were doing a little bit Saturday. But I'm not afraid to give Nick the option to do that because he can get us in the play faster. Alabama is an example. Alabama is a check the checker. If you check, they're checking their blitz. They have adjustment for everything. So we weren't going to look to the sideline. Everything we did was fast. And Nick did it from one play to another, like the long pass to Michael Gallup down their sideline. We were checking, and they were trying to check to a corner blitz. They didn't get the safety rolled over there in time because Nick went so fast from a run to a pass, and Mike was wide open.
Right. That was right at the end of the first
right.
half.
Where if I would, right. Where if I'd have checked it, the safety would have been over the top, and it would have been a dead play.
Right.
But Nick was able to go from a run to a play-action pass in a matter of less than 5 seconds, and their safety didn't get over the top, and it resulted in an explosive play for us.
Right. If you have a quarterback in the first year of your system, he's probably not able to do that,
no,
right?
He's not. We were limited last year. We were limited the first year with Nick, and toward the end of the year, my first year, we started to be able to handle some things, and we started to be able to execute a little better in the run game. Last year with Colin in there, we were a little bit limited.
Right.
But he brought us arm talent and was able to move the ball because of his arm talent. And Nick's experience and Nick's way he's throwing the ball and the way the receivers have come along, we're able to do so much more because of what he can do at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and I guess the good news is on that, as you look down the line, Colin's been in the system last year.
Right.
He's still in the system, and despite the fact that he's not playing, I mean, he's there in the film room, there at practice, doing all the same things.
And he's taking all the reps, the number two reps right now. He is our backup quarterback.
Right.
And he's, you know, prepared. I love his mindset. He prepares every day like he's the quarterback of this football team. And if his numbers called on to play this year and help us win, I have no doubt he can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Gallup and anybody that watched the game on Saturday night certainly saw the physical nature he can bring to a game, because you get him going in that screen game and he can get the ball one-on-one with a defensive back. I mean, I'm not sure, based on what I've seen the last couple of years, if there's a DB one-on-one that's going to stop him for a 2-3 yard game. It's going to go 5, 8, 12 or more.
Well, it's funny you say that. I was actually thinking about that on the way home last night, driving home. I was thinking about all the screens that we have thrown Michael since he's been here. Has anybody really ever stopped him from having a positive gain? Yeah,
right.
Some of them have been maybe 3 or 4 yards, but it's never been a for sure knockback tackle. He
right.
is always going forward. He usually makes the first guy miss. I mean, he's so hard to tackle. A couple of those screens we threw out there, and that's what you want. You're getting your athlete one-on-one versus their athlete, and we think Mike's better than their guy. And, you know, put him out in space and see if the guy can tackle. And it's hard for anybody to tackle in space. But he's so big, he's so strong, he does a great job using his stiff arm, you know, especially when they try to tackle him high. When they try mm-hmm. to tackle him high, they just fall off.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it was something to behold. And we've seen it last year, and, of course, we saw it again on Saturday. Michael Gallup, again, is, I think, established himself as the best wide receiver in the Mountain West Conference. All right, another timeout here on the program. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the Hawaii game, and then look forward to Utah State coming up on Saturday afternoon. This is the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Back after this from Learfield. Welcome back. CBN Potts here in Fort Collins at Coors Light. Mike Bobo Coaches Show here on the Colorado State Sports Network. As Colorado State getting set for the Big conference game at Utah State coming up on Saturday afternoon, coming off that 51-21 win over Hawaii. It marked the seventh consecutive victory against the Rainbow Warriors for Colorado State, a streak that dates back to 1992. Brian Roth and head coach Mike Bobo back with you. And, you know, you had mentioned on the show last week that you love the way that your football team practiced last week leading up to Hawaii. You called Monday of last week perhaps the best practice of the fall. So I knew going into that game, you would have been really disappointed if you didn't come out and play well.
I would have, you know, because you're always preaching as a coach is, you know, you're going to play the way you practice and the way you prepare. And I thought we prepared outstanding last week, and I expected us to play well. And if we wouldn't have, you know, I would have been a little bit disappointed. But, you know, sometimes, you know, what I always say, just because, you know, we got to practice hard, we got to prepare hard, and that doesn't mean we're going to win. That's going to put us in position to have a chance to perform on Saturday because of our practice and our preparation. Then we still got to go do it on Saturday. You know, you don't have a chance if you don't practice and prepare like a champion during the week. If you practice and prepare like a champion, then you'll have a chance on Saturday to execute and find a way to win the game.
You know, I know you have a mature team. I like the maturity of your team, and they understand that if you do practice like that, you're going to be prepared in a game. But does a great week of practice followed up by a resounding win on the road solidify that point to your team to where you've seen it again this week?
Yeah, I believe so. It's got to come from the leadership of the team, and I believe they set that tone as we went on the field on Tuesday. You know, I said it as the head coach and in Monday's meeting and the message to the team. And, you know, you can sometimes tell when you're talking to a team or talking to a group of people. You know, are they locked in? Are they listening? Are every word means something? And I really got that. I have that feeling about our team that we believe, you know, and ultimately we still got to do it. But they believe in how we're working, how we're preparing. They believe in each other. The defense believes in the offense. The offense believes in the defense. We believe we can find a way week in and week out to get the job done. And you know, that's got to carry on. We got a long season and a lot of tough tasks remaining and a big one this week. But, you know, the only way we're going to get there is continue to do the things that we got to do week in and week out.
Right. And again, this was a Hawaii team that probably should have won at Wyoming the week before. And I was telling a couple of Ram fans earlier in the week that I think the 51-21 win was a very good win for you guys. I think it might even look like a better win 5-6 weeks down the road. I mean, I think Hawaii is going to win some games, certainly on the west side of that division.
Right. I don't know if it's going to matter in the computer playoff poll or not, Brian.
No.
What it looks like. I mean,
Mike,
bottom line is a win.
It matters to fans.
It's like when you draw, you know, you get a par in playing golf. It doesn't matter how you got that par.
Right.
They don't draw pictures on the scorecard. They just put four down. They don't draw pictures whether we got a win or a loss. So it's a W.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you'd want to play pitcher. I mean, we're not going to play a first quarter like that every week.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to happen. And at the end of the day, you've got to find ways to win football games. And we're all perfectionists. Us as coaches, fans, we're going to pick at everything. We could have been a little bit better. Why is the defense giving up yards? Why are we not doing, you know, but find a way to win. That's what it's about. It's a bottom line business, winning and losing ball games. And when you get your team to focus on that, just find ways to win the ball game, then you got a chance to get where you want to go. When you worry about all that other crap, you're worried about the wrong thing.
No, I know, but the fans do, though. And I guess the point was I think Hawaii is going to be decent.
I'm not picking on you. They're a decent football team.
Right.
But I'm not, you know, that we beat Hawaii 51-20 and 5 weeks ago, look how we beat Hawaii. Hey, that was a good win. 5 weeks from now, we're going to be playing somebody else. Who cares about Hawaii?
There's no question.
I don't care about them this week. I'm getting ready for Utah State.
I know. Mike always tells me, come into these shows, he's like, hey, listen, we got to fill an hour on this show. We can't talk for Utah State for an hour unless we want to completely bore everybody. But he doesn't like talking about what's in the past. I know that. And half the times I ask you a question, Mike, and I already know what the answer is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's –
Well, you got to – and you think it's cliche and coaches say the same thing, but it's –
But it's true.
I mean, it's hard enough for me at 43 to stay focused. You know, how do you think it is for an 18- to 22-year-old to stay focused on getting ready to go on the road to play Utah State, who's 1-0, and then when everything's happened, people want to tell them how great it was in Hawaii, the trip, school, study hall, practice, meet. I mean, it's hard. So that's why I am like I am. I'm constantly saying the same things because, one, it keeps me focused, and I got to keep, you know, 120 kids focused.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you have preached that now in the 3 years that you have been here. It doesn't matter if you're coming off a huge win or if you guys would have gone and lost 51-21. Your mindset would have been the same on Sunday and into Monday.
I mean, you just look at the great organizations. I mean, I just think about the New England Patriots,
right.
Bill Belichick. And then I think about, you know, Alabama and Nick Saban. I mean, it's the same thing. Week in and week out, we can control what we can control. We do our job. We work together. We play as a team. We focus on, you know, what our goal is that week, and they're goal oriented. They don't believe that because they had success last week or last year is going to guarantee success this week or this year. And I mean, it's a proven model of, you know, and that's really anything. That's in your job or you know everything. You gotta wake up the next day. You gotta go to work, or you're not gonna get paid.
Right.
We don't wake up, go to work, we're not going to win this week.
Well, a couple final thoughts. We'll just do one final thought on the Y game. We'll start looking forward for you.
It's a great win.
You had mentioned
5 weeks from now we can go celebrate.
I think Hawaii's real. I think that Hawaii offense is good, though. And I think your defense, I thought, played really well in keeping them in check.
I know what you're trying to say. Sometimes when you beat somebody, they say, oh, they weren't that good.
Yeah,
or,
it's Hawaii. You beat them seven straight.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good football team.
Yeah,
and
I think so, too.
And going on the road and winning a game and playing the way we did with the focus, I think it's a great victory. I really do. And I think Hawaii's going to beat some people this year.
Yeah. And offensively, I think they're going to score some points. I really like the Brown kid. You mentioned in the pregame show the slot wide receiver, Ursua, was really, really good. And I thought the running back was really good, too.
You know, they kind of got away from what they have done. They had a lineman tear his ACL in pregame warm-ups and kind of went a little bit pass-heavy. They've been more run to pass. And then when we jumped ahead, they got their game plan of trying to give it to number 22 and establish the run. And really, they were playing in our hands a little bit because we had the great first quarter.
Yeah. You mentioned to the newspaper guys here today in the press conference that one thing on defense you'd really like to see is more pressure on the quarterback. Doesn't necessarily have to be sacks, but more pressures, more quarterback hurries.
Yeah, if we don't find a way to create pressure or affect the quarterback, it's going to be a long rest of the season. You know, we can't, you know, guys are going, they have that much time, guys are going to get open. You know, I don't care if you're playing zone, I don't care if you're playing man, I don't care if it's three deep, two deep, quarter, half. Guys are going to get open if the quarterback does not feel pressure is affected by the quarterback. And we've got to find ways to affect the quarterback. And it's going to be huge this week. Mm-hmm. We've got to affect Kent Myers. If we let him become comfortable in the pocket or we don't hit him on the quarterback runs, then it's going to be a long day for us. We cannot win a championship if we don't start affecting the quarterback.
Right. Again, it'll be a tough one against Utah State coming up on Saturday. We'll talk about that game and start looking forward. And much to the delight of Mike. All right, we'll be back after this. Having a good time tonight here from Fort Collins, the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield. All right, at the midway point here tonight, Coors Light, Mike Bobo Coach's Show here from CBM Potts in Fort Collins as we continue to talk Colorado State Rams football. And well, the fans here continue to watch Colorado Rockies baseball. It's now 6-4 in the fourth inning. The Rockies trying to make a game of it down in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. Coach Bobo, are you a baseball fan? And if so, I'm going to guess it's the Braves.
I am now. No, I'm a Rockies fan. I live in Colorado, man.
I like it. All right. A true Rockies fan. We have converted him from a Braves fan. Did you play baseball growing up?
No, I couldn't hit the baseball, so I did not play.
I didn't know you might have been a pitcher. A lot of those quarterbacks are pitchers.
I only played till maybe fourth or fifth grade, and I could never hit the ball. A little bit scared of it, to be honest. I remember my dad offering, you know, saying he'd give me a milkshake or – buy me a Frosty if I could get a hit, and I couldn't ever do it. So I ended up didn't quit. Can't, you're not allowed to quit during the season, but the next season I decided not to play baseball.
Well, sounds good. Again, Rockies down 6-4, but making a comeback. All right, the Rams are going to get to Utah State coming up on Saturday afternoon from Logan at 2:30 kickoff. So a day meeting, 74th meeting between these two teams. And again, if you have a question or a comment for the coach, we're always welcome that on the Twitter. You can hit us up on our radio handle at CSU Rams Radio. And this one is from Joey. And Joey asked, will we see Rashad Boddy coming up on Saturday?
I don't know. It depends on how the game's going. I had that question, you know, about Rashad in this last game. And we only had, you know, I think we had 59 plays in the last game. And we averaged almost 11 yards per play.
Right. And yeah. 59 plays, but you usually average 80 plays
80
per
plays.
Game.
So there we had a little bit less plays. And you know, Dawkins and Matthews are our top two backs, and it's conference play. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, we played our top two guys, and they got to touch it, and they played outstanding. They were running extremely hard, and really wasn't a point there until the fourth quarter where we were going to sub guys going into this game. That was the plan. And they ended up getting some first downs, Hawaii's offense, and we didn't get our subs in the game, but Boddy's got a chance to get in, but it depends on how the game's going and how those backs are doing. You know, not Boddy, but there's a lot of guys that didn't play in this last game, and I tell our guys all the time, you know, it's how you practice and how you prepare, and it's not the YMCA or, you know, Little League where everybody gets to get in the game. You know, we're playing a game to win, and the best players are going to play, and Boddy's working his way week in and week out, along with a lot of other guys that earned the right to get on that field.
Right, and of course, what Daylon Dawkins was able to do, 17 carries, 131 rushing yards for Dawkins, touchdown, first 100-yard rusher for you guys on the season, and then Izzy Matthews nearly became the second, nine
carries.
Yeah,
I mean, we rushed for how many yards?
You rushed for 259.
259, yeah. So the run game was doing all right on Saturday.
Yeah, the run game was doing just okay. Fine Saturday night, no question about that. All right, and then a question from Eric. He was asking about the Utah State offense. What makes them so dangerous?
Well, it starts with Myers, their quarterback. He's playing. He's a four-year starter, basically, because he started some as a freshman. He's got tons of experience. He's comfortable in the pocket. He's comfortable running their offense and the RPOs. His ability to run the ball and extend plays in the passing game, everything starts with him and what he does. And, you know, they've got speed at running back. They've got size at receiver, and they've got a quarterback that can – do a lot of things, and they do it in a hurry, up-tempo. So the scary thing for me is Myers, because anytime you face a quarterback that has experience, and it, you know, their guys they're tough to beat. And yep. Fortunately, we got a guy that's got experience, but they do too. You know, we're going to have to play our best game defensively to play well and put ourselves in position to win this game.
Yeah, Ken Myers is a guy who in his career has run for over 1,300 yards.
Wow.
He has 19 rushing touchdowns. And you remember that 2 years ago you
rushed
played
for
him.
180 something on us, didn't he?
191.
Yeah. I shorted him 10 yards. I was thinking 181. 191 yards.
191 yards. Was that a case, and I'm sure you've gone back and looked at that film, was that a case of him making plays when the pocket was breaking down, or were those more designed runs?
To be honest, I haven't went back and watched that film. We've got a new defensive coordinator. They've got a new offensive coordinator. Okay. So, we haven't watched that. I do remember it. It was a lot of – most of them were zone reads. We did not play our responsibility on the backside of the zone read. And then, you know, didn't have good awareness in the back end to get somebody down. Just too many explosive plays. But I haven't watched that game in about a year, to be honest.
Yeah, and you look at their running backs, Hunt and Allen, both of them upwards of 55 rushes here this year. So they're kind of like you guys. They have a couple of backs that they like to go to and keep fresh.
Well, they got to. They ran over 100 plays against San Jose State. I mean, they're going to set the tempo. They're going to play fast. And what we've got to do is we've got to try to get them out of that rhythm. The thing about really up-tempo offenses like this, which is a spread offense, is try not to let them get started with that first down or big play. You know, if you can not let them get started with an explosive play on a first down, once they get that first down, then they just ramp up the tempo. So we got to play really good. You know, the three and out possessions, we need to meet our expectation this week of having over 50% three and outs. You know, get out there, get stops, Don't let them get that first down, or we're going to be in for a long night.
Yeah, you mentioned over 100 plays in a game against San Jose State. They won that game 61-10. Did that on the road. I mean, 100 plays, Mike. How odd is that? It's got to be hard to do, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's really hard to do. One, you've got to be, executing at a high level offensively, being very efficient, and then you've got to play well on defense, giving the ball back to the offense. San Jose State did. I think they crossed the 40 once. There's no red zone. They basically shut San Jose State's offense down. They had like 140 yards offense. They played outstanding on defense and offense. Just everything they did, they executed at a high level. And it was one of those games that, they felt really good about that week, and they carried over into this week against BYU. They obviously had 7 turnovers and defensively, but. They played well at the end of the game. They had to run the ball. They had to finish the game out offensively. And, they played 2 really good weeks of football, great defense and good offense. They're feeling good about themselves. They're 1-0 in the conference. It's going to be a tough task for us.
Yeah, the defensive side of things, I know 16 takeaways, you mentioned, it's first nationally, 12 in the last 2 games. It was 5 against San Jose State and then 7 against BYU. They housed 2 of the interceptions last week against BYU. I mean, the same guy, Jalen Davis, right.
Yeah.
I mean, to see a team have 12 takeaways in 2 games, you talk about numbers that are almost unheard of. That's one of them.
Yeah, it is. 12, when we had 7, what did we have, 7 in 2 games or in our first 2?
Yeah, 5 and then 2, right.
2, we were like, 7.
Which is a lot.
This is a lot. But 12 in 2 games, are really a direct result of their scores right there. Why it was 61 and then 40-something to 20 is because of the turnovers. They just created more opportunities for their offense and scored defensively. That's usually when you're going to get blowouts. But the way they're playing defensively now, they've got a lot of confidence. I mean, you just watch the tape. You can see the way they play. You can listen to the guys. Their players talk. They're playing with a lot of effort. They think good things happen when you run to the ball, which they do. People ask us all the time, is how do we get more turnovers? Well, it's effort. It's getting more hats to the ball. It's, just playing hard, and the ball tends to bounce your way. And that's how they're playing right now. They're playing extremely hard. And they've got a skill guy, Jalen Davis, number 13. He's got excellent ball skills. 2 of his picks, he was in man-to-man coverage. And it's hard to pick balls in man-to-man coverage. It was great instincts, great reflexes, and 2 outstanding catches that he made. And then he's got the ability to take them to the house.
Ball security is always of the highest priority, I know, for you and your football team going in each and every week. I know you emphasize it every week, but when you see a team with 16 takeaways through 5 games, I mean, is there extra emphasis on that?
It's something that the offensive coach has talked about in our scout report, that there's 16, there's 16 takeaways. They lead the country. You have extra emphasis of your scout team trying to punch and strip the ball carriers during scout work. Constant reminders of keeping it high and tight, what you do all the time, but it's more vocal this week. I'm hearing guys talk. We had a guy, a running back, put it on the ground today. He was immediately taken out by the running back coach, and, we can't have that. We can't put the ball on the ground. It happens sometimes, but it can't happen because we're careless about our ball security of the points of pressure and protected. Sometimes you get hit just – the helmet hits the ball just right, or something happens for a turnover. But if we're careless with the ball by, being loose like Dietrich Clark was on that second touchdown.
Going in the end zone.
It was loose the whole way. That guy, he punched it out because Dietrich's ball security was poor. So that was a point of emphasis this week, no matter whether we were playing Utah State or not.
Right. You had mentioned to me on Monday, preparing against this Utah State defense is really hard because they do throw a lot of formations at you. You said it's just you have to prepare for so much.
Yeah, it's it's one of those weeks I have a headache watching the film, because you turn on one game and you see, one front, one scheme, one coverage. The next week it's a different philosophy. Then the next game it's something different. There's not a lot of carryover of what they do. Year to year they played us is a little bit different. Okay, we're going to try them in a 4-down front this week. No, we're going to try them in a 3-down. We're going to shift our 4-down to make it look like a 3-down. And then they play all these different coverages behind it. So it's a rules game, which I say a lot. It's a rules game. But we're going to have to lean on our experience a little bit, what we talked about, Jake Bennett and Nick Stevens and Zach Goldich and those guys, is we're gonna run some of our base stuff out of our base formations and try to get a feel for how they're playing these personnel groups in this formation, and then make some adjustments during the game of what we want to call.
Yeah, it's a Utah State defense that is really, really playing well right now, and as we mentioned, very, very opportunistic. All right, another timeout. Right, we'll be back. We'll wrap it up here tonight from CBN Potts and Collins.
Sports Live.
Rams and the Aggies coming up on Saturday afternoon.
Glad to have everybody aboard here this evening as the Rams get set to take on Utah State Saturday afternoon, 2:30
from Maverick Stadium there in Logan. It's a place where, well, the Aggies have been very good, 28-6 in their last 34 games there in Logan, Utah.
Really? That was
28-6 over the last, about a span of about 5+ years. Just
pretty
a little
good
bit
home
before,
field advantage,
right? Just a little bit before Coach Matt Wells got there. All right, one more question on Twitter, and I had to go back and go through your Twitter feed here, Mike, to understand the question. Yeah, but this is from Brady, and he was wondering what was the deal with the boom tweet from 2 days ago, and it said, boom, big news for the Rams coming soon.
Coming soon. I mean, you know.
Coming soon meaning like, not coming tonight.
I mean, we didn't announce the date, like when a movie coming out, coming soon, when they don't really know when it's really coming out yet. They say coming soon. They are coming in July, you know, but tomorrow you'll know.
Tomorrow. Yes. Okay, there you go, Brady.
there's your date, Brady, tomorrow.
All right, well, appreciate that.
Yeah, somebody thought it was that we were going to wear Ag uniforms when we came out in our Ag helmets, but then they realized that our gear was still in Hawaii.
Yeah, has that ever happened before? I mean, and well,
for me, no.
No, huh? So the gear doesn't make it back from Hawaii, and I read that in UNC gave you shoulder pads?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I guess they got more shoulder pads than we do.
I
guess they have extra sets and we don't.
They just have 120 shoulder pads laying around, huh?
I guess.
Really?
We don't. We got one set.
One set of shoulder pads. Well, and the Aggie.
Yeah, it was a little funky at practice today. Jake Bennett, the guy, said the gear shoulder pads they've been in a crate for almost 3 days. Smell out there. So we left the pads outside to kind of sanitize our shoulder pads. Maybe we'll beat Utah State by the smell of our shoulder pads in the game. I don't know.
Well, don't you guys have stuff in your locker room where you can throw them into rooms?
It doesn't work.
Sanitize
it doesn't
them?
Work yet.
It does. Okay. All right. Fair enough. New stadium still trying to work out some kinks. All right. Let's get on to the injury report presented by UC Health with more clinical trials and advanced treatments than any other health system in the region. The game changers in medicine are at UC Health. Usually I only ask you questions that I know the answer to. The last couple I haven't.
I get that question from Jake Bennett every week about that room.
Right,
it's supposed to sanitize our stuff. It's not operational yet, but we're working on it.
See, Jake Bennett and Brian Roth, great minds think alike. All right, how are you guys doing injury-wise going into Utah State?
We're close to 100%. We might get Trey Smith back, the receiver that's been out for a couple weeks with a foot injury. I don't know if he'll play receiver. He probably won't, but he might be able to play some special teams for us. Jeff Taylor will make the trip this week, the offensive lineman that missed last week's trip with an ankle. He might be in a limited role, but he's practiced all week. He's not 100%. Kyle Robinson will still be out, the linebacker. Other than that, off the top of my head, I don't know if I'm forgetting anybody, because at the end of the day, we got who we got. The guys that are injured, they're going to get healthy and get back and join us. And if you're the next man up, they got to be the next man up, ready to go. And I feel like we got that mindset.
Yeah, and Kyle Robinson at that linebacker spot. I guess the good news is you do have some decent depth there, and playing some true freshmen at that position too.
Yeah, Patrick, he's not playing that position. Patrick Moody, he's rotating in for Josh Watson and Mike a little bit, linebacker. But you know, Max McDonald. I almost said Morgan, the guy that was playing before.
I said that on the
he's
broadcast
a great player
last
now.
Week.
Yes,
I know.
I've watched a lot of film on him and this defense. He was a really good player. But Max McDonald is starting to, you know, play, you know, pretty well, and it's great that he's getting experience. He's a young guy from right here in town, Rocky Mountain High School. And then, you know, the guys up front, Livy Pagofi, Ellison Hubbard, who else? Another freshman was playing.
Emmanuel Jones.
Emmanuel
at the
Jones,
spot.
You know, and then at one point last week we had Emmanuel Jones, Livy Pagofi, Ellison Hubbard, then he had R.J. Jean out there, who's a So you had three true freshmen and a true sophomore out there. And you know, just the young guys that are playing are going to be good for us in the future. Toby McBride is going to be out. He was out last week with a back. He'll be out this week as well.
Yeah, and Toby, of course, the kid who played as a true freshman last year for Colorado State. Pagofi, I remember calling his name, and he made a pretty nice play.
He made a nice play on the screen.
On the screen, that's right. That's right. Read it right away.
Yeah, it was a screen. He recognized screen. D-lineman's rule is to chase, turn and chase. He chased right down the line of scrimmage, and I think he tackled it for a no gain or a lost yardage play. Just a really good effort play by him. And, you know, we're playing a lot of guys up front right now, around seven guys. We're not the biggest, but us playing these guys is going to provide depth. It's going to help us as we get into this conference play that we're playing all these guys.
Yep, absolutely. Final thoughts presented by Coors Light. Mike, 30 seconds left. A key or two to the game on Saturday.
Protect the ball.
Protect the ball.
We got to protect the ball. They lead the nation in takeaways. We got to protect the ball.
All right,
and
Mike.
And then affect the passer.
That's right. Get after the passer. All right, thanks, Mike. Best
Thank
of luck.
You. Appreciate
All right, head coach Mike Bobo here tonight. Thank you to everybody that came out to CBM Potts here this evening. For the rest of the crew, including Bob Greenfield, Brian Roth, saying so long. We'll talk to you again coming up on Saturday from Logan.